Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, I'm out of 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 3, 2016, or this evening, 28, 2020, we will start our first service today with a song entitled, The Love of Yah is Greater Far Than Tongue or Pen Can Ever Tell. The love of Yah is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pen bowed down with care, Yah gave His Son to win. His erring heart He reconciled, and pardoned from his sin. The love of Yah, rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on our rocks and hills and mountains call, Yah's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace unto Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. The love of Yah, rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe a trade, to write the love of Yah above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could this scroll contain the whole, nor stretch from sky to sky. O love of Yah, rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Kingdom of Heaven, Come Down, Part 1. We're going to go now, and our prayer thought is going to be taken from Colossians chapter 1. And I want to mention that the kingdom of heaven occurs in 40 verses in the KJV, starting with Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. All right, now, it says, Paul, an apostle, this is Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, of the Yahshua by the will of the Yahweh, and Timothy, our brother, unto the saints and faithful brethren in Yahshua, which were at Colossae, Grace be unto you, and peace from Yahweh our Father, and the Savior Yahshua Messiah. We give thanks unto Elohim, the Father of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Yahshua Messiah, and of the love which you have unto all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now watch this here. It says, the hope which is laid up for you in the heaven. I put the article the in there, in the only one heaven that it can be laid up in. That's the one that's far above us, according to Psalms 103, verse 11. It's high above us. Verse 6, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of the Yahweh and the truth. Okay, now what are we talking about here? In the truth. Alright. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of the Messiah, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Yahshua unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the Father, being strengthened with all the might according unto his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of the darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, of the darkness, I'll put the article in there again, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, notice it says into. You actually enter into the kingdom of heaven that is set up here on this earth. Okay. So what was the hope of the disciples and their converts when Yahshua went back to heaven and left them? He says his Father's going to send you another comforter. He's going to send you his Spirit. And going to put you in charge of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Now, folks, once you come to perfection, after having entered into this kingdom, then you have a heavenly atmosphere all around you. And if you obey all the commandments to keep yourself unspotted from the world, and to purify your soul, complete obedience to all of his statutes and judgments and precepts concerning all aspects of the kingdom of heaven, then what do you have? You have heaven has come down by the power of his Spirit. Now, men of old, they were encapsulated in the Spirit. And they knew they had Yahweh's total protection wherever they went among men. But they were tested and tried even though they were in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And they stayed faithful to their calling no matter how severely they were tested, because they had the Spirit that separated them from the outside world. and was his complete guide, spiritual instructor, comforter, protector, and all things. So now let's go ahead. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 again through, strengthened with all might according unto his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now Paul's talking to the Gentile Colossian, and he says, you give thanks always unto the Father, which hath made us. And Paul includes the Gentiles with him. Now, Paul is a Jew. He said, hath made us together. We are brethren. Gentile and Jews joined together here. So that pronoun us is to, incorporates all of the believers, both a Jew and Gentile, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So now, and who hath delivered us from the power of the darkness? So there is a power that Satan has over his people that he has control of, because he's got them in total darkness, and there's a power there that keeps the mind blinded from seeing the light of the truth, and hath translated us. He has translated us now from this power of the darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. So apparently, the kingdom is an invisible kingdom, just like the power of the darkness is invisible, as Satan reigns over. So it's a mental condition of the mind. Whether you are in the kingdom of darkness of Satan, or you can see the light and by the Spirit, and then let the Spirit translate you into this spiritual kingdom. Now, why does I say that? Because in Luke 17:20, we'll go look at that right quick. It says, and when he was commanded the Pharisees, when the kingdom of the Yahweh should come, he answered them and said, for the kingdom of Yahweh cometh not with the observation. In other words, you don't take a telescope out there, and you don't go point it up toward the heavens, where the kingdom of heaven originated, and you don't try to watch for it coming down to see when it's going to come and arrive and come on its way. You don't try to catch it through a microscope or a telescope. No, it says the kingdom cometh not with the observing it, the kingdom. In other words, the kingdom don't just come down here and sit up all around you, and you are unable to observe its functioning and decide whether you want to have a part of it or not and enter into it. No, it doesn't come with that type of observation. And then here in Luke 17:21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of the Yahweh is within you. Okay? Even as I speak, I can declare that the kingdom of Yahweh, a headquarters, is being established right here in 240 River Road. Okay, and he said here in Liberty Hill, Texas, and he verse 22, Luke 17, and he said to the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. For they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. You ever observe an approaching thunderstorm? Yeah, I know you have. We all have. Many times. And we see the lightning flashing all over the heavens. And it lightens up our place when it lightens all over the heavens. So, that's the way the kingdom of heaven will come. Like a bolt of lightning that lightens out of one part of the heaven, it lightens up the other part. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Where was the kingdom of heaven at then in the days of Noah? It was the headquarters set up in that ark that floated upon the waters. A sanctuary in the midst of an abyss of water. Okay. It says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even this shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Okay. Now, is the Son of Man, he going to be revealed here on earth in these last days? And how is he revealed? Through the Word, no doubt. So it says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Search ye the Scriptures. All right. Verse 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Well, what is that all about? The kingdom of heaven is within us. It says so there in Luke 17, 21. It says that when the kingdom comes unto us, we accept the truth of the kingdom. It's within us. As we walk in the statutes and the judgments of the kingdom, then we are participants in the kingdom's activities, and we become a member of it, and we have an inheritance then with the saints in light already. So it says, remember Lot's wife, verse 32, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Now, what is this all about? Well, I worked in the field. Okay, now what does it say in Matthew 13? Let's about that field. Let's go look at Matthew 13. Let's see about that field. What is that field? Let's look at about, I don't know, somewhere around 40. And therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, they shall gather out of his kingdom. Okay, now here's angels coming to harvest, and all of a sudden they're finding that there are some terrors in this kingdom of heaven here on earth. All things that offend and them which do iniquity. So this made its fulfillment there at the final headquarters for the Seventh-day Adventist at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002, with Rutus Johnson as the angel of the seventh candlestick at the helm of the ship. And verse 42 of Matthew 13, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, they shall be weighed in the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What is that? Is this the same thing as the kingdom of heaven? It certainly is. There's judgment taking place here in this kingdom of heaven. So where was the kingdom of heaven when the judgment first started with the ancient men before the house here in our day? It was at Kermit, Texas, at Gilead Center. That was the kingdom of our Father. And there were the members of Gilead Center where we were all members of the kingdom of our Father. And Rutus Johnson was the appointed head of it. But, sadly, fulfilling this, what I just read, Matthew 13. Alright. Now let's look at a little earlier here in Matthew 13. Now let's look at 37, verse 37 on. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is, and they left out the preposition, which I'm going to put the preposition to make this a different meaning. The Bible says the field is the world. No, the field is in the world. It's not all over the world. The field is in the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Okay, the good seed is the children, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So what I say in verse 38, for the field is in the world. When you put the preposition in, but if you leave the preposition out, it says the field is the world, and that's impossible. Just like when you're out, when I lived on a farm, we had a house in the middle of the field. We had a barn in the middle of the field. We lived out in the middle of the field. Because when we got ready to go to plow the ground, we started right outside of the borders of our house where we lived. We went right out there. Just as soon as we could get to some open ground around our house, we started plowing. That was the part that we sowed and harvested. But so it says, the field is in the world. But that field that we had outside our house, it didn't cover the whole world. It just covered the part that we were in charge of. It had borders on it. Likewise, this is the same way. So when I go to Luke 17, and it says, in verse 31, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field working, let him likewise not return back. Okay, so now, it says in verse 30, even this shall it be in the day when the Son of Man reveal. It says, remember Lot's wife, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. Brother Johnson and I were in the field of labor. Together, we were put together in 1970, we labored for 32 years. In the field. And when judgment started, the ancient men for the house in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, these two men were separated. One was left, and the other was taken. One moved on to another field of labor. Okay, the other one was left in the field where he was found. And they answered and said unto him, "Where, Master?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." Okay. For a little more clarity on the point of the field in the world, when I labored with Brother W. Johnson, headquarters at Kermit, Texas, what field did was I called a laborer in? The field that the Adventists were occupying. And what fields were they occupying? They were occupying the field of Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, and had been since 1844. Okay? So now, when that third feeding pasture, that third field, began to dry up, had a timeline in which it come to its end, what did Yahweh do? He made a judgment call, separated the two main laborers that labored in the field, and keep in mind, this is in the 11th parabolic hour, that these two laborers labored together in the same field. The two dissimilar servants found there in Matthew 24, 45 and on, 42 to 45. And so what I'm saying is, when the judgment came, automatically then, one was transferred to another field of labor. And it's a whole new field. But this field that we have been called to develop is full of all kinds of briars and thorns and thistles. And it's made up mostly of the Gentile world now. And so the Holy Spirit has designated this headquarters where we're at today as the headquarters of the kingdom of Yahweh to be set up, and now in this field called Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Alright. So now as we continue on and go back now to so it says there in Luke 17, let's go ahead and finish out that chapter. It says, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, "Where, Master?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." Where the body of what? The body of the Yahshua, his kingdom. Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And the eagles is represented, this last generation represents this last generation of saints. And these last generation of saints, the first ones that are earmarked to come forth in the first fruits of the harvest, would be the 144,000. So they represent these eagles that are going to be gathered to where this body that represents the kingdom of heaven here on earth, that is gathered here, Liberty Hill, Texas. This is where the body moved from Kermit to Liberty Hill. So wherever that body is, then will the eagles be gathered together. So now if you want to know where the 144,000 are going to first come to, where the body is. Whereas the body had been, we were drawn here, we were led here by the Spirit to this place right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. But I was totally by the Spirit. Totally, totally, 100% we didn't have any clue of our destination. We left Kermit, Texas as to an address and a house where we were going to drive right to, and already had it prepared. No. Yahweh says, I have gone before you with my Son, has gone before you and has prepared the way for you. So he led us by the hand out of Kermit in 2003. He led us to where we eventually ended up right here within 2 days. The third day, we found our house. After we got here, it took us 2 days of searching on our own. And when we decided that it's to no avail, then the Holy Spirit then led us to the place that He had prepared for us. And it says, what it says right there in John 14. I'll read it to you. It says starting in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'll go and prepare a place for you. Alright, now, we needed Yahweh to show us where we were supposed to go when we were cut loose from Kermit, Texas. Because by faith, we sold our home. We had a secure place. It's all paid for. And we owned our property. We owned our businesses. We had a good income. My goodness. And we were called upon to sell all things, everything. Everything we owned. Just take our vehicles and load them up as best we could in our trailers and start down the highway, headed in a general direction where the Spirit told us to head into, and we went and we came to where He led us to before and said, this is where you are to go. He told us where we were supposed to go when we left Kermit. We had 400 miles to get there. So what did He do? The Spirit went before us and prepared a place for us. This is the place where we're living right now that He prepared for us. My wife and I are in our 11th year in this particular place that He has prepared for us. And lo and behold, we found out that this is the number one building place in the United States, right here where we live, construction-wise. They're building thousands and thousands of homes and apartments and places for people to live. And we're about 40 miles due north of Austin, Texas. We're out of the big city area. We're in a rural area. Beautiful place. And Yahweh is showing us how to understand the scriptures are right. I can't go out here and start preaching to these Gentiles and tell them, now, the kingdom of heaven is in heaven, and it's going to come down one day, and Jesus Christ is going to come and sit upon the throne of David, and He's going to give all the nations before Him. It's going to be right here at the headquarters for it. I can't go teach these Gentiles that. They don't know the first thing about what truth is in any form, shape, or fashion. So what is my job? My job is to let the Spirit guide me. It's like this sermon today. I did not have this sermon planned. I had ideas of what I was going to teach. And lo and behold, right at the very last second, the Holy Spirit changed my mind. Within 1 minute, I changed my mind 2 or 3 times on what I should preach and teach. That's 5 minutes. It took me 5 minutes to finally get to this study that I'm into right now. And the Holy Spirit led me verse by verse, word by word, step by step. And now I'm understanding that we have to understand the kingdom of heaven has come down, and how we are to understand, how we are to enter into it, and how we will enter into it, those that are born again and converted. But this here in John 14 now we just read, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in the Father, believe also in me then. If you're going to believe in the Father, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. See, when I saw it, I told you so, I'll go to prepare a place for you. But this has already been fulfilled unto me and my wife. He fulfilled this to Alan DeLong with us in 2003 when he led us by the Spirit here. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Okay, now. It's a strange thing. I'm going to show you something in prophecy here. I lived through this, folks. And I never dreamed I would be telling this story this way. But this is the truth. 1996, the Holy Spirit began to exercise Brother Stephen Johnson on the righteous nation of Texas, being an independent nation, has always been. We always refer to Texas, where we live, as a state, of one of the 50 states of the Union, of the United States. But it is not. Texas is an independent, captive nation, okay, by the United States have made it a captive nation. It has ever since 1861, technically. And but Texas is to emerge one day as a righteous nation, and the leaders of this state, I call it right now, is what they call it, is evolving into a independent righteous nation. So it's already started. So he says, he told Brother Johnson, he said, now, and I went through for 18 months with Brother W. Johnson in the Republic of Texas, helping to counsel and guide him through that movement with those people that started this movement here in Texas, reclaiming Texas as a nation. So Roberta Johnson joined that movement, and I joined it with him. And when that movement was over, Yahweh moved upon Roberta's heart to move down to Austin, Texas area. When our time was up in Trinity, and he told us from the pulpit, he said, we've already been down in the Austin area. And he came down here no less than, I know, four times, and come back to Kermit and told the congregation, yep, we're supposed to move right down there. He gave a testimony, it's on tape. I wished I had that tape. I wouldn't know where to go to find it. But anyway, he said, yeah, we're to move down there in that Liberty Hill, Texas area. And so, I know over the next 5 years, he come down here at least four or five times in that 5 year period from about 1997 through 2002, 5 years, he made at least four or five trips down here by the Spirit, and he said, yeah, we're supposed to locate. So when he made his last trip, and I spent the day with him, he said, well, I don't have a clue where to go to look. Do you have a clue? He come to see me on the job where I was working in the Fort Worth area. And he says, I don't have a clue where to go. So we looked at places on the way down here to meet you, but said, we're not impressed with any of it. He said, do you have a place? I said, I sure do. He said, well, let's go. So we spent the whole day down at Namers Valley, a place that about 1,000 acres that is owned by the Seventh-day Adventists.
Right.
And it's for sale. It was for sale then. And I said, this is the place that we are to inherit. And he says, all right, let's get the neighbor here that was a Seventh-day Adventist, that was a kind of a caretaker for that property. Let's go. And we knew him real well. They had worshipped with us before and out in Kermit. So we went to see the Franks, and the Franks gave us an all-day guided tour of that 1,000-acre property. We took pictures, and I've got all the pictures. We took a bunch of pictures, and I've got a whole bunch of them. Of that whole property, had a river running through it and everything. And when we got through that day, Brother Johnson told us, I said, yep, the Holy Spirit told me this is where we are to move. This is where we're to set up our next headquarters. So what does that tell you? And it had at least 25 living quarters on it. It had different houses and living quarters. For all the members of Gilead Center could have a place to live. Already had it prepared. All you had to do is just take possession and move in and pick out the dwelling place you want to live in. And Lame, she picked out the headquarters and dwelling place where she wanted to live. I took pictures of it. I got pictures of it. And it said, this is going to be our headquarters, Rose, here. This house right here across from a big tabernacle on the hill. They had a tabernacle that's 60 foot wide and 180 foot long up there on the hill. And the headquarters for the pastor, the prophet, was right across the street from it. So Lame said, we're going to live right here. Said, our son Daniel's going to live in this one next to us. And our son David's going to live in this one next to us. And then where Denton's going to live, I don't know. He's just picking out a place where around what's left. So she had it all figured out, and boy, they had great plans. Well, you know, we got back home. They got back home, and I went back to Kermit for services on the Sabbath. And Brother Johnson said, well, we looked it all over and said, you know, we're getting too old for that kind of stuff. We're moving anymore. Said, we've got our property here paid for. Said, you know, our church is paid for. Our administration building is paid for. I mean, we got all this property we own here in Kermit. And we're going to do it by computer anyway. We're going to do our gospel work by the computer anyway. So we can do everything here that we can down yonder. So Lame says she doesn't want to move down there. So I guess we're going to stay right here. I said, well, then I'll buy the place and I'll move down there. I'll just move on myself then. And Brother Johnson got all upset. He said, oh, no. He says, I changed my mind. We'll go ahead and sell out. No, we'll move down there after all. And then I went to see him again after that, and he said, well, we've talked it over again. We decided, no, we're going to stay right here. So I ended up at the very place where Yahweh sent Brother W. Johnson on no less than 4 trips to survey the land and to spy out the land and to come back and give a goodly report. But then in the end, he was like those 10 faithful spies that went into the land of Israel to spy out the land of Israel when they come out of Egypt. They only had 2 out of the 12 that went in that came back and gave a good report, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And they were the only ones that entered into the land when the 40 years sojourn in the wilderness was over, was Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 died. They died there in the wilderness, along with those that were 20 years and older that rebuilt at Kadesh Barnea there in the wilderness. They all died in the wilderness. And so we have the same thing today, the antitype of that today. And I don't know why it's important that I end up with this subject today, but this is very important because we're always dealing with the kingdom of heaven being set up with his servants that he chooses to head up to work in a field. Whenever he sends someone into the harvest field, they have taken possession of his kingdom here on earth. Now it says right here in John chapter 4, where I'm at right now. John chapter 4, let's look at verse about 34, 35, 36, and see what we come up with. It says, Yahshua saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So Yahshua, he comes and heads up the work here on earth with his servants. And he says that he is his power and his knowledge and wisdom and direction is how the work is finished through his servants that he chooses. So he says, is to finish his work. Say not, ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Okay. So Brother Johnson, that was left in the field, and I was the one that was taken out of that field at Kermit and moved on. Brother Johnson did the sowing. And the first seed he sowed was the seed of truth in my heart, with the knowledge that he had of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And he taught me when I first met him that the kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation, but the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. He says, we are in charge of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that I was laboring in that field of the kingdom of heaven at Gilead Center for 32 solid years. That I was with the brother Sarah Kermit. So I believe that I was laboring in the kingdom of heaven, the field of the kingdom of heaven. And I still believe it. But it was in the 11th hour. So, it says, there in verse 35, I'll read that to you again. It says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. See, it says, he that reapeth. In other words, he that does the harvesting receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. What does it mean, receiveth wages? It means when you go out and gather converts into your kingdom, they're going to bring their gold and silver. Now this brings me to read to you about Isaiah chapter 60. Again, I read it yesterday. I closed out my sermon yesterday with that, but I'm going to read you something again now. Isaiah 60 is what happens when you gather wages. Here's your gathering wages. Arise, shine. This is Isaiah 60, verse 1. For thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Yahshua shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So that's why we're here right now, to set this everlasting kingdom of heaven here in the Liberty Hill, Texas, so that the Gentiles can come to this light. In other words, Yahweh prepared the Austin, Texas area as the center of location for the kingdom of heaven here in Texas, as a central location. And so because all the nations, from all nations, kindred, tongue, and people are going to be together because we have an international airport out here. And we have, they can come from the north, south, east, and west. But to come to Kermit, Texas, they wouldn't do that out there in the desert where there's no close airport by. There is an international airport out there in Midland, Texas, about 65, 70 miles away from Kermit. Now, that's true. But here in the Austin area, you have an international airport that is right outside of Austin. And people can come from all over the world. So it says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they give themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shall thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. What does it mean, the forces? When you read the definition of forces, it talks about the wealth, the gold, the silver. So the Gentiles are going to bring all their gold and wealth and silver to you. The multitude of the camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah shall they from all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Yahweh. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall be ministered unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar. That's the sanctuary system restored with all the feast days, keeping all of Yahweh's holy days, annual, monthly, and weekly feast days. There's 70 altogether in one year of these holy feast days to be observed at different times of the year. 52 of them are the seventh-day Sabbath once a week. 12 of them is the new moons once a month. And three of them are annual, once a year, and that is the Passover, Pentecost, and the Atonement. Okay? And I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as a dove unto their windows? Surely the isle shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish, first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Yahweh the Elohim, and unto the Holy One of Israel, his son, Yahshua the Messiah, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the force of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. This prophecy could not be fulfilled at Kermit in the 11th hour. It could not be. It's impossible. This is not the geographical location. That wasn't a geographical location anyway. This, where we're at today, is a geographical location. Not only that, but we're in the 12th hour, the right time for this as well. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. So what do we have and sit up here then in the Austin area? We have the kingdom of heaven, having come down, and is being set up right here. Rejoice, everyone, for the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary. For this is where his sanctuary is being set up. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. And I keep getting this vision in my mind every day, just about. That I can see right out here in my area, a big sanctuary set up. A big tabernacle set up. And we've already been shown a tabernacle on a hill with Brother W. Johnson back in the 90s that belonged to the Seventh-day Adventists that they bought back in the 1981. And they brought it for the Adventist people to have camp meetings and so forth, and spiritual retreats. Well, Yahweh told me back in the 80s that the kingdom of heaven is going to inherit that location one day. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. So Yahshua owns this Zion. He's the Holy One of Israel, and we're going to be called the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. So in other words, Yahshua, such a holy, pure church, is called Zion. And we know it's Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal ecstasy of joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So I, the Yeshua, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, look at this, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. So violence is not going to be heard once this kingdom of heaven has been brought forth and made as a beacon upon a hill. Then the people are going to beat their swords in the plowshares, and they're going to come running to this kingdom. And they're not going to hear of violence anymore in the land. We have tremendous violence in this land where we're at today. There's tremendous violence in all lands all over the world. But once this kingdom of heaven is established forever, then it says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. Okay, that thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day. Now the sun that's shining over the top of you now, it's not going to be a light no more. It's going to be, that sun's going to go out. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Yeshua shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy Elohim is thy glory. So the Father and the Son has come down, and they're the light of the kingdom. They're the light of this world. In the beginning of creation, the first 7 days of creation, the first 3 days was created by the light of heaven that Yahweh brought with him to create this world, because the sun, the moon, and the stars were created on the fourth day. The first 3 days of creation was done by this heavenly light that the Father and the Son possessed. So whenever they come on the scene together again, they're going to possess the same heavenly light, and the sun, the moon, the stars are going to go out again. Now that's going to be here in this 12th hour, folks. That's right here in the kingdom of heaven, where the Father and the Son are the power behind setting up this kingdom of heaven with his everlasting kingdom of David in charge of it. Thy sun shall no more go down. Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Yeshua shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of thy, my plant, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. So this is the land where I was born in. So this is the land that I'm going to inherit forever. Oh yeah, we're going to go up to Jerusalem on all the holy days, because Jerusalem and the old land is going to be restored simultaneously with this new Jerusalem here in this land. But wherever you was born at, that's where you're going to live at. But you're going to go up to Jerusalem, according to Zechariah 14, after that great battle of war is over. You're going to go up, everybody, all the inhabitants of the earth are going to be required to come up at least once a month on the new moons and on the annual feast days, on the Passover, Pentecost, and Atonement, while we're still on this earth. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Yahweh, will hasten it in his time. This brings the close of us to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us, number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close this service now with a song. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true either, let me so. He has gone away to live in the city. He's preparing me a mansion there, I know. Yes, will die on the cross to bear my sorrow. Freely guide the soul like you, my heavenly light. But I know that soon there'll come a bright tomorrow, when the saints will all be free from sin and sorrow. Soon I shun the Savior's love, come up in glory, or you won't be there to sing the gospel story. In my Father's house are many mansions. If you're pure, then to this land you'll surely go. Yes, Lord God, upon the cross, spare my sorrow. Freely guide the soul that you, my heavenly light. But I know that soon you'll come, a bright tomorrow, when the saved will all be free from sin and strife. Soon I come to save your flock from up in glory. Or you won't be there to sing the gospel story. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it's true to this land.